And now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the WPKN microphone and to First Tuesday Randy Day Radio, John Allen Hyatt. John, are you with us?
Yes, I am. And actually, it's John Allen. My husband's name is Keith Hyatt.
Okay, I noticed that. I wanted to clarify that with you before the show, but sadly, I failed to do so, and so now we've arrived at this hilarious, embarrassing moment. But in any case, I want to introduce you, say a word or two about you, and then we can get down to it. John Allen is actually the host of a cable access program, an LGBTQ program out of New Haven called Out in New Haven, and it is broadcast on New Haven's Citizen Television, and it broadcasts once a month. We're going to basically talk about that show tonight. John Allen is the co-president of the New Haven Pride Center and has been with the center since its inception in 1996. We're going to hear a little bit about the New Haven Pride Center, but he does special work there and has done so for over a decade now, two decades really. He works for the state of Connecticut, and he's devoted his career to supporting people with intellectual and other disabilities. And since 1998, he co-facilitates the New Haven Pride Center's Rainbow Support Group, which is believed to be the first of its kind to support LGBTQ people with intellectual disabilities. He also serves as the chair for the center's scholarship funds. And as aforementioned, John is married to Keith Hyatt, who is my neighbor, both of them, on a very lovely street in Branford, Connecticut. Well, John Allen, thank you so much for being with us today. I have actually seen your show. Tell us a little bit about it. I mean, tell us everything about it. Tell us how, why, where, when, and just the whole story about how you got inspired to do this show, of which you are a very charismatic host, I might note.
Well, thank you. And yes, we do live on a very lovely street in Branford, in the most liberal and progressive neighborhood in Branford, which is known for being a very progressive town. But we are in the most progressive neighborhood, and it's just a delight to have you as a neighbor.
Well, thank you. You've just raised our real estate values. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes. And, you know, actually, the Out in New Haven is a unique program where once a month we talk about LGBTQ issues that occur of interest to the LGBTQ community in Southern Connecticut, New Haven, Southern Connecticut, and the state of Connecticut. And we really take a local and a regional look at issues impacting our community. And the idea for Out in New Haven actually started about a year ago when you came down the street. I don't think you really know this, but you came down the street and you were so concerned about what was going on with the national politics, and you were starting a group for basically a Facebook page and a meeting group of local people that were concerned about what was going on in national politics. And you said something that just left such a mark on me, and it said that, you know, how can we impact what's going on nationally? The best way to do that is to act locally. And that really stuck with me, and I thought, gee, what is it that I can do? And I've had other cable access programs in the past, many years ago. And I thought, well, gee, you know, I don't really see any LGBT shows on television on talking about local issues. And I thought that might be something that could fly. And so I spoke to some people that I know over at Citizens Television in New Haven, which is an outstanding television station. I think the guys over there, they're so supportive of anyone that wants to do anything, and especially unique programming. And their television channels reach about 250,000 people in Hamden, New Haven, and West Haven. And that's their market. And then I've been able to get the show onto Branford and Guilford community television stations, and then our network through the community center. But it really was, it began with what you said, and I realized that, you know, there's a market for this. People are hungry for hearing about issues that are impacting our local community. And I thought that the best way to act nationally is to be the best person I can locally. So that's what we've done. We've now done 7 episodes, and we are broadcasting. It's viewed 4 times on the CTV network, 4 times a week. So a total of 16 times over the month. And we've been tackling all kinds of issues from the top 10 LGBT historical sites in New Haven, which is a tour that I usually give around Pride Month, where we've identified 30 historic events and locations in the 9 squares in downtown New Haven, including marking the site of the first public execution of a gay person in 1646 on the New Haven Green, to you know, the New Haven Pride Center, which is now in the 9th square. We've talked about law enforcement. We've talked about, the drag community, the queer art scene in the region. And just recently, we spotlighted a 91-year-old out leader, David Knapp, who was impacting the Boy Scouts, was part of the effort to make them change their homophobic legislation and rules to allow openly gay scouts and openly gay leaders in the Boy Scouts of America. So these types of issues are timeless and they are having an impact, and I'm just really proud of what we've been able to do.
Wow, that's a great summary and a very good appetizer for people who want to try to catch up on these shows. I assume they're archived. I watched one on Vimeo. Tell people just how to access this if they are not, let's say, in New Haven, West Haven, Brantford, or Guilford.
Well, you know, this is the beauty of what's going on in community television, is that no longer are they making these on DVDs. I mean, you can get them on a DVD, but they're made available through these platforms of Vimeo and YouTube, and they are, you can just go right into the Vimeo channel or onto YouTube and type in Out in New Haven, and you can bring up our shows. You can also contact the New Haven Pride Center. We have a Facebook page, and the links are on the Facebook page of the New Haven Pride Center, and they are easily available for viewing. They're a 30-minute program, but they have a very professional look to them, and that's because the guys at CTV wind up producing the show for us. We just provide the topics and the guests. But it's a lot of fun, and I know that it's having an impact. In fact, our number 3 episode on the drag culture in New Haven was the number 1 downloaded show in the CTV network. So it proves that there's a real market for LGBT issues, not just within the gay community, but people that are interested in what's going on in the disparate communities around New Haven and the region are taking a look at our show. So that's really a great thing.
That is a great thing. And I think, just as, you know, word of mouth, us having a conversation in the street, I had no idea that had anything to do with the show.
A disclaimer.
But
I don't think I ever told you that. But that was
no, you did not. That was
the reason why I did that, because I was just, you know, like so many people that I'm sure are listening to your show, are just gobsmacked about what is going on in Washington and to progressive communities, and it's how can we respond. And I think that the best way to do that is to be out and visible, not just as a gay person, but as a progressive person, as a Democrat, as a liberal, as somebody that cares about other people. We have to be visible and not shy away when, you know, people are saying we've got to, you know, get people on welfare to work and take away health care and and just be so mean and cruel. We have to be kind and stand up for others, and I'm trying to do that in the best way that I know how.
Well said, John. I want to mention that as I was stunned to hear that you started the show after our conversation, but what I'm thinking is that as people listen to this around the state, there are many public access points around the state and around the tri-state area. There may be other people who will pick up this thread and try to weave something in their own communities to talk about the issues that are impacting them, either LGBT or whatever. This is a great incentive and a great inspiration for people.
Cable access programs, I think, are just so understated because people watch those shows. I know that, you know, as I'm flipping channels, I will pause and see what other people are doing. And, people aren't going to sit and watch possibly the entire 30 minutes, but they're going to watch enough of it to get a flavor of what's going on, hear what the issues are. And I do this with not just my own program, but with many of the other things. I want to know what's going on in the local community. I want to know what people are passionate about. And so even if you're only pausing on the station for a couple of moments as you're flipping channels, it really has an impact. And it's so easy to do. And if you have any kind of an idea from just a personal interest, if you're into knitting or you have an interest about the outdoors, it's so easy to get this onto into the television medium, and people really will see it. I get stopped by folks in town all the time saying, "Oh, I saw your show the other night," and they'll ask me about what we were, have some questions that pertain to what we were talking about, and so I know that it's having an impact. And also driving people to the New Haven Pride Center, because we're making this as a program of the New Haven Pride Center. And I would like to talk a little bit about the Pride Center.
Please do, because yeah. I don't know much about it, and I bet many of our listeners may have heard the name, but they don't know about its location, its activities, and its whole range of agendas.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Well, the New Haven Pride Center actually started as the New Haven Gay and Lesbian Community Center. And it grew out of my master's thesis, which was the first time that the Southern Connecticut gay LGBT community was quantified. And that made front page news in the New Haven Register and in newspapers around the state. It was an amazing project for my master's thesis. And out of that, what I discovered was that in 1995, there were 40 gay or gay-friendly groups, LGBT or LGBT-friendly groups that were operating in New Haven, really under the radar. Now, remember, this was pre-Ellen coming out in 1997. So it was really still new, part of the dark ages.
P.E., my God.
Pre-Ellen. And, there were several defining moments in the LGBT community, certainly 1969 with the Stonewall Rebellion, but in 1973 when the American Psychological Association rescinded the said that to be gay is no longer to be crazy. And then in 1997, when Ellen came out on national television and was cover magazine of Time magazine, just an amazing watershed moment. And so for this to occur in provincial New Haven was nothing short of incredible. And we were able to, there was a group of us that were able to take that information of these 40 LGBT groups operating in New Haven and turn that into the community center. So we have been in four locations. We were the first LGBT center in New Haven, the third in the state, and currently we're one of only two in the state. The other is in Norwalk, and that's the Triangle Community Center. So most of your listeners are in between these two very vibrant centers. And since that time, we've functioned as a all-volunteer group, kind of like a clubhouse, where we were open for anybody that wanted to use the resources of the center, mostly for hosting groups. But a year ago, we embarked on hiring our first executive director. So we are now an organization that has a full-time paid executive director who is just changing the center by leaps and bounds. He's expanded our reach. There's many groups that are operating there almost every day. We've got our Dorothy Awards coming up with the 15th annual Dorothy Awards, which is our signature fundraiser, but the largest LGBT award ceremony in the state of Connecticut. And I want to mention that in a few minutes. The center is at 84 Orange Street in downtown New Haven in the 9th Square. And we've got about 1,500 square feet with several rooms that people can come to meetings. They can rent the space at a very low cost. It's on a bus line. It's handicap accessible. All the things that we need to be a developing and thriving community center. So I would encourage everyone to come there, and we have everyone is welcome. So there's many things that are going on with that. We're just hoping to continue to expand the outreach of the center. It's currently the home of the GLSEN Connecticut, which is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Teachers Education Network. That's their home base of operation, and the Imperial Court, which is a society that meets for pageantry and social services. So it's a wonderful place that people can be who they want to be. And one of those things is a group that I'm very proud of, and that is the Rainbow Support Group, which we have been meeting there since 1998, and we believe it's the first organization in the country to support and acknowledge people that have an intellectual disability and are LGBTQ. And that's just unique in that people with disabilities, you know, we expect them to, the state does a good job of supporting people with jobs and with residences, but we tend to not think of people with disabilities as being sexual or having a sexuality, and certainly not having an alternate sexuality or gender identity. And so that's one of the primary reasons why I've stayed active with the New Haven Pride Center, is to make sure that we continue to operate this unique support group. And we regularly have people from the surrounding states that come in, and from all over the state. There's active members that are coming in from Torrington and from Springfield, Massachusetts, and from Worcester, Massachusetts, and southern Vermont or New York, because there's nothing for them in those communities. And so we're doing it here in New Haven, and it's just an unbelievable thing to realize how people with disabilities have been, you know, nothing scares family and staff more than someone that says that they want to have a relationship, have sex, you know, and they're fearful of disease, abuse, you know, and other things that can possibly happen. And there's such a thing as dignity of risk, and we want people to recognize that. Just as people in the general population, some are not straight, the same thing holds true in the disability community, that some people have a different sexual and gender identity.
John, let me ask you, yeah. as we talk about this this facility that and help that you provide to with people with intellectual disabilities. What actual services take place there? How do you help people, gay, lesbian people that come to the center with that in that you know, in that
people
category.
With intellectual disabilities, yeah. Or just anyone that wants to come to the center?
No, people specifically with the intellectual disabilities that you referred to.
Well, what we do is we meet monthly, and it's a group that is a safe space for some people with intellectual disabilities. The only time when they come to the community center, that could be the only time that they ever get to express their sexuality. Because there's such restriction in the living situations where you can imagine if you've got residential staff, you know, that are paid to make sure that you're safe, that you're in the facility, that doesn't allow many opportunities for you to meet other people, to court someone and to have a relationship and, God forbid, have a sleepover. Have an opportunity where you could have intimacy and privacy. I mean, think about when you were just anyone that was, you know, trying to court someone. It's, you know, you have to meet a lot of people. You know, need to know how to have social cues of dressing up and, you know, smelling nice and going out on a date and doing all the things that we sort of take for granted or that are encouraged. And yet, when it's in the disability community, oftentimes it's discouraged because, you know, we want to take care of making sure that they have their job or they have a safe place to live. But the main thing of having relationship and family is a quality of life issue. And we really, you know, on the whole, we don't tend to think of people with disabilities as being three-dimensional folks with real lives that, you know, could involve intimacy and partners and companion and family.
Wow, thanks for that explanation. And we're speaking with John Allen, who is the host of Out in New Haven, which is a LGBTQ program, which is viewable to anybody who has cable access in the New Haven, West Haven, and Hamden area, I believe. And then also,
right.
If you can find it on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, or on YouTube, just search for Out in New Haven. And John listed a bunch of the, I guess, 7 shows that they've had so far. That's once a month, and can't wait for the next one. It's really cool because what astounds me, and this is a little, I guess you might call it a gratuitous compliment here, but you know, I do radio. I've been doing it for a long time, and I did it when I was in high school. And I remember when I first started doing radio, it was kind of cool because I was sort of like the Wizard of Oz. I was behind the microphone. Nobody could see me, and, you know, I was a little skinny guy, and I could sort of make my voice bigger than I actually was. And that kind of gave, you know, that made me feel like I could be a personality larger than life, in a sense, larger than my actual physique and being. But when I saw your show, I mean, I was amazed at how calm, cool, and collected you were, and never said, you know, never, you just kept it rolling, and you looked like you had it all in hand. How did you develop that skill?
Well, I like to talk, so that makes it easy.
No, not you, John.
No, I do. I like to talk. And the thing that I just love is I love to see people have do what they're supposed to do in life and have fun. And I love to see people just being the best that they can be. That's why I'm in human services. That's why I've stuck with the Rainbow Support Group and the Community Center all these years, because I just love to see, you know, when people are at their most unguarded and having fun and self-actualizing. Because, you know, as a gay person, I know what it's like to be restricted and to be bullied and to be told that, you know, because of who I am and who I love and what interests me, that was wrong. And I grew up in a time, you have to know, I grew up in a time when to be gay was illegal. It was considered a mental illness. It's we've had our rights. I mean, I've been with my partner since 1982, and we were not able to have a civil union prior to get married. And it's only until recently that these things have happened. And I do want to say Connecticut really has been a very good state. It's a wonderful state to live as a gay person. We were the second state in the country to repeal the sodomy laws that criminalized gay behavior in 1971. We were the second state in the country to offer civil rights protections to LGBT citizens in, actually LGB citizens in 1991. We just recently became a state that made it illegal for conversion therapy to try to change young people from being gay. And in fact, we're going to be honoring the two legislators that were responsible for introducing that legislation. I do want to talk about the Dorothy Awards. But Connecticut is really a great place to live as a gay, or as an out LGBT person.
Where did you grow up, John?
I grew up in actually in Baltimore in California, but came here when I was in high school. And, you know, it's where I came out in 1982 is when I really came out to myself. And it wasn't until 1990 that I actually came out to someone at work. And then it was all, you know, opened the barn doors at that point, you know. So it's, and I encourage everyone to be out with who you are, whether you're a gay person, a trans person, a progressive person, to just to live your life as openly as possible, because it just is freeing. And it allows you to focus on the things that really matter instead of trying to hide.
You mentioned early in the interview that you kept saying progressive and fighting back and pushing back. You mentioned the idea that, you know, we're kind of in this really critical moment in our society, in our communities, because of what happened a year ago, a little more than a year ago, on November 8th, 2016. Tell us a little bit about the experience of the gay community and you as a gay individual during the Obama years, and what happened to your sense of safety and your feeling of just hope for the future after Trump got elected. How did that change? Yeah. Just talk
about it. Oh my gosh. It was like the dark clouds were hanging over us. I mean, we went from euphoria where we ushered in marriage equality. And, you know, just imagine for anyone that has been with someone for so many years and your lives are so intertwined, your finances, your relationships, everything that you do, to be intertwined and then not have that legally protected. And then when it was finally allowed, it's something that we were just shocked about, that, you know, never did we, in our wildest dreams, did we ever think that that was going to happen in our lifetime. And so it was an absolute dream come true. And so many other things were just wonderful, where, you know, we are concerned about what's going on around the world, where LGBT people are being put to death in certain countries and having rights taken away. I mean, even in this hemisphere, we've had Bermuda and Haiti usher in homophobic legislation to make it illegal to even promote anything related to LGBT issues. I mean, this is happening right now as we speak. Egypt is making it illegal, and people are put to death in some of the Middle Eastern and Asian countries. I mean, these things are really a concern, and they're only being exacerbated by what's going on in Washington right now, where Donald Trump said he was going to be the best for LGBT citizens, and he has demonstrated since he's been in office that he's among the worst. He's put forth homophobic commissioners and legislators and secretaries, joking with Vice President about how Mike Pence wants to hang gay people. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we are dealing with right now, and it's absolutely frightening to experience. And so, you know, when I say, you know, to be out loud and proud as much as possible, it's a matter of life and death. And trans people, our trans brother and sisters, are, face that fear every single day. They're experiencing exponential exponentially high incidence of violence and murder just for expressing their gender identity. And so, yes, this is what's going on in the age of Trump. And I am very fearful about it and have a high sense of alert that we must do everything. I've given more money this year than to charitable causes than I've ever given in any year prior, just because I know it's important to stand up and be counted. And sometimes it doesn't even matter how much you give as much as lending your name with a check. And so we have really expanded the reach of our charitable giving.
So, John Allen, as we come down the home stretch here, if you would maybe continue in this theme and connect the dots between gay, lesbian, bi, and trans activism and other progressive movements and causes that are now fired up and ready to fight, what are the connections? Like, why mm-hmm. should, let's say, progressives who are concerned about the minimum wage be identifying and in solidarity with LGBTQ groups yeah. and people?
Well, you know, one of the things that I do want to mention, and that is, it's so important to, as we, you know, look at some of the things that are going on that are harming our community, we also need to take a moment to celebrate the successes. And there's a truly, one of the great things in Connecticut is this award ceremony, the Dorothy Awards, which is obviously named after the iconic figure of Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz and Judy Garland, and she's such an iconic member of the LGBT community. And her death actually sparked the Stonewall Rebellion in 1969. And we've named our award ceremony after her, in honor of her. We will be hosting the 15th annual Dorothy Awards, which, as I mentioned earlier, is the largest LGBT awards ceremony in the state of Connecticut. And this year we're honoring four outstanding individuals and groups. And that includes Dr. A.C. Demidant, who is the chief provider of Anchor Health Initiatives for her pioneering work on trans health care. We have Sonia Salazar, who's the owner and chef of Barracuda Bistro and Bar in New Haven, for her outstanding support of LGBT issues. We have State Senator Beth Bay and State Representative Jeff Curry, who were the sponsors of the legislation to make sure that conversion therapy for gay LGBT youth was criminalized in Connecticut. And we have GLSEN Connecticut, which is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network of Connecticut, which works with LGBT teachers and encourages support of LGBT students in the schools throughout Connecticut. So all of these groups and individuals have made a significant impact on LGBT life in Connecticut and thereby helped to make Connecticut a better place, not only for LGBT people, but for everyone in the state. And they deserve, and we're just absolutely proud to be spotlighting their accomplishments. And that's actually going to be taking place on March 3rd at Fantasia in North Haven.
Is that a public event? I mean, can anybody buy tickets?
Yeah, it's open, and there's we have a Facebook page on the Dorothy Awards or on the at the New Haven Pride Center website. Tickets are available for that. But so that's the Dorothy Awards and celebrating our successes. But I also think that, you know, people tend to think that that the LGBT community, that it's just a bunch of rich people that are that we're all so fabulously rich. And that is, while LGBT people have a lot of disposable income, there are still, because people that are LGBT there's still stigma attached to being openly gay or trans, that it has impacted people's ability to have career advancement and and salary. And so we're concerned, like anyone else, about a living wage, about health care, about making sure that many LGBT people have family, either biological family or through adoption, or chose blended families. We're definitely concerned about violence that's going on within the community, because LGBT people experience exponentially more violence and bullying directed at our community. And we're very concerned about equality. And so in Connecticut, as I mentioned, we do a wonderful job, and I want to commend Governor Malloy and his administration, because they've been very supportive of our issues and have been champions for when other states have done things that are against our community. And so, we have a history of electing leaders that that recognize the concerns of our community. But we have to make sure that we align ourselves with other progressive organizations and individuals that are out there fighting for the same issues. I mean, who doesn't want, things of a good job and having family that you're able to provide for your family and being equal? You know, that's what our country's about, is providing a level playing field. And so things have really improved, certainly under the previous administration, and we're fighting to make sure that we keep that in, keep the advances that we've made in this very tumultuous time.
John Allen, thank you so much. Why don't you just tell our listeners what your next Out in New Haven topic will be, who your guests are, and when we can watch that show?
Yeah, we're going to be filming that in, we film on the first Monday of the month, and then it's available that week. And our next show is actually, we're going to be hosting Robin McCalin, who is the founder and current executive director of True Colors in Hartford. This is an LGBT youth organization, and they host the largest LGBT conference in the country every year. For 25 years they've been doing this, and it's currently at UConn in Hartford in March. And they are just a phenomenal, this is the fairy godmother of all LGBT youth, Robin McCalin. She's an amazing person who is just so supportive, and is she speaks around the state and the region, and she is truly a gem that we are so proud of, and I'm proud to have her on the show. She'll be coming and bringing one of her dynamic individuals and talking about the successes that this organization has had in 25 years.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to that. And as I said, and you said, we can access that easily. Even if we don't have a television, we can go right on our laptops and fire up YouTube or Vimeo and search for Out in New Haven. And all those shows will, I imagine, be archived there and accessible. I want to thank you so much, John Allen, for joining us tonight. Please say hello to Keith for us. And we'll talk soon. And I'll run into you in this
neighborhood.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, John. Take good care.
Enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
Thanks.